Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words, and what a wonderful gift that you've given us. The gift of your words, not only that, but the gift of your Son, and we thank you for both of those gifts, Lord. What a great and wonderful thing you've done. Now, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we go through them today. We pray that you'll open up our eyes and our hearts to your words today. And we pray for those that are traveling to churches around the world today, Lord, that you just give them grace to get there and give them safety. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Now, we got through a couple verses of this last week. We'll go through it a little bit more. Okay, verse 22, we'll start
off. They're in the world,
Bible says,
in the
and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples
Jesus is giving
to get
them
into a ship
to
and to go before
and
him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away.
Go with me if you would to Revelation 17.
And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to
Revelation 17.
And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves,
there's somebody
for the wind was contrary.
There.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled,
saying,
it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear.
Something's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's
but
in
straightway,
there.
Jesus spake
chapter
unto
7,
them,
or
saying,
Matthew,
be
or
of
Revelation chapter 17,
be not afraid.
Verse 15.
And Peter
the Bible says,
answered him
let's
and
go,
said, Lord,
verse 14,
these shall make war with
thou,
the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them,
for
he is the Lord of lords and King of kings.
Come.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship,
lowercase,
he walked on the water to go to
Jesus. When he's talking about the kings of the earth,
but when he saw,
but when he says Lord of lords, King of kings,
when he saw the wind,
hey, he's talking about us.
He was afraid.
Praise the Lord.
And beginning to sing, he cried,
and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth,
Lord save me.
And immediately
Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him,
O thou of little
faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
And so,
when they were coming to the ship, the wind
very well be a picture
then they that were
of when his disciples are sent out to the world to preach the gospel. And you have
okay,
the Holy
so
Spirit
last week we,
pictured as the wind. We went
going contrary
some verse
to men,
to nations,
we threw
to
a bunch
people,
of verses that we
and
really
to tongues,
didn't go and look up,
which causes a turmoil in
and,
the sea.
We're
going to
try and look some of them up this week.
And,
verse 22.
And I don't know about
go
you,
back,
but
you
when you start witnessing for Jesus Christ in the world,
and straightway,
you're going
Bible
to
says
receive
Jesus constrained his
ridicule,
disciples to get into a ship and to go before him
on
the other
up,
side while he sent
waves,
the multitudes away.
And it's going to
and so last
you.
Week, we saw a little
just
about
like
where Jesus
are being
departed
tossed
to.
In the ocean right now,
where he departed
sea.
To.
Okay.
And basically,
it's a picture of when they're going out and giving the gospel. What happened to the disciples?
Went to here.
When they gave out, when they gave the message out,
that they got killed.
When he leaves the earth, he went to Mount Zion,
and
that's
what
the Christians
are
persecuted.
That he's
Paul was one of them that was persecuting the Christians,
and that's found. If you go with me, if you would, to Psalm 48.
And so there's turmoil out there.
I wrote down a
there's going to be turmoil out there until the Lord comes back. And you can expect it.
And it's found in numerous other places.
You've got a job to do. Jesus gives you something to do. When you go to
he's
do
coming
it,
from,
it's going to be
Mount Zion when he comes back.
There's going to be waves.
Okay.
There's going to be times
verse 48,
of
or,
hard
sorry,
times.
Chapter 48.
It's not going to be this nice, peaceful
the Bible says,
ride
great
to
is
the
Lord
side.
And greatly
it's
to be
going
praised
in the sea of our God
in the mountain
and you just
of
have
his
to deal
holiness.
With that.
Because that's just
for,
the way it is.
Beautiful.
And if you don't want a situation,
it,
the joy of the Lord
do anything for
is
the Lord.
Mount Zion. On the
but
side
you're still
of the north.
Go through waves,
the city.
There's still people, there's still
king.
Tongues, and they still picture the water out there.
And God is known.
And,
God
is known.
And
they're still going against the Lord.
The kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw
and they're
it,
still going against
and,
his
and
words.
They marveled. They were troubled.
And
so,
they hasted away.
This could be a good picture of that.
There's a Mount Zion on earth. And there's
those that don't want to do things God's
okay.
way.
And that's where Jesus
and,
is.
And those that are going contrary to what God
also,
wants.
We saw last week how Jesus
they're
is
gonna cause those who are going that
us.
Way to
we
suffer.
At that verse up in Romans. When
now
he
go
went
with
up,
me, if you would, to
Second
says in Matthew,
Timothy,
he went up into a mountain.
Second Timothy.
When Jesus went up,
Into heaven.
Three.
He's 12. Making intercession
for us.
And that's
for that.
Found again in Romans. When you
Romans
do things
8.
God's way, when you do things the way it's
found in Romans 8,
down
we
in
can
His
go
Bible,
there again.
According to what He says,
Romans
this
8,
is what's going to happen. 2 Timothy 3.
For those of you that weren't here last week.
Yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What did the disciples do? They did what Jesus said.
Verse 34.
Who is he that condemneth?
Suffering.
It is Christ that died, yea,
suffering
that is risen again.
Who
is even at the right hand of God.
Let me tell you, it's not fun being out in the water when there's waves
and
praise
the
storm out there.
God is praying for us.
Nobody goes fishing in a storm. They go fishing in
but that's what he did. He went up in a mountain to pray.
And then they get out of there.
And so we're looking at what this could be a picture
with me, and then we go out when it's
and so before Jesus leaves to go up into heaven
here on earth, right? Before he leaves,
at those that look godly shall suffer
persecution.
What does he tell them to do?
And so when you do what Jesus is asking you to do,
if you would to Matthew
chapter 28,
disciples did.
He tells them to do something.
You're going to suffer from
He's constraining
people.
Them here to get into a ship.
That's where the suffering is going
to
come.
What does he tell the disciples
to
do?
Matthew
28. And they gave them a hard time. They gave Jesus a hard time. They gave John the Baptist a hard time. They gave the prophets the hard time in the Old Testament. What makes you think it's going to be easy for you?
Right. Verse 19, the Bible says,
it's not.
Jesus is telling
and
his
so,
disciples to go
that's
ye
why
therefore
we need
and teach all nations,
teaching,
baptizing them
right?
in the name of
because
the Father and in, of the Son and of
the
Holy the
disciples
Ghost, teaching
here.
Them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Because you've got the disciples
let's
here.
Go, if you would, to
they
Mark,
had to
Mark
be
16.
Constrained to go.
Mark 16.
Right? They just didn't say the first time, yes, Jesus, we're going to get in a boat and go to the other side. They were constrained.
16, verse 15.
How many times did Jesus have to tell them the command that he wanted them to
verse
go?
Verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat
more
at meat
once.
And upbraided them.
And that's
and
why
them,
we need preaching
which
and teaching, because
and
after
hardness
the first
of heart,
time,
because they believed not them, which had seen him after he was risen.
Getting to do
and
something
said
that Jesus says, right?
And go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
You don't want
to
go
that believeth
anymore.
And is baptized shall be saved.
What happened to the disciples the first time when Jesus had them get in a ship?
Now, if you would go with me to
this big storm came up and they were afraid they were going to die. And then the second time Jesus tells them to do something,
before when Jesus goes
water,
up in the mountain, before he goes
up
there,
or get on another
before
seat,
he's sitting on the right hand of God,
and you've got
he's in Mount Zion,
you've got the disciples going, what's going to happen to me this time? Right?
He says to his disciples, one verse
and
eight.
So he's got to constrain them, and that's why
but
we shall receive teaching
power
because
after that the Holy Ghost
the first time we go out there
and
he
shall be witnesses unto me
and we
both
get
in Jerusalem
by people,
and in all Judea
we're
and
less
Samaria
to go out there
and unto the uttermost parts
so
of the
when
earth.
When the Word of God is being taught to us and preached to us, hey, it gives us some encouragement to
now,
get out there and do it
who
again.
Who does he send forth with his gospel message?
And so Jesus has to
who
tell them.
Jesus
he's
Christ
got to constrain them to get on this boat.
He sends forth
he's got to constrain them.
He probably told them more than once.
Later on,
verse 25,
they have the gospel message, folks.
Matthew,
we don't get
14.
The gospel message unless it comes from them.
We don't get it.
Matthew 14, 25.
Who are
and
the first born again
night,
Christians?
Jesus went unto them
in the church of
on
God.
The sea.
Mark 13, 35.
Think about it.
Disciples.
I don't think we looked this up the last
disciples.
Time.
Disciples. Mark 13,
35. And what has Jesus just shown us here? He's showing us that the nation
says,
of Israel, who was supposed to bring the message
of
in the Old Testament,
is as a man taking a
far Gentiles,
his house and gave authority
and they didn't
to his
do,
servants, and
he's
every
giving
man
it to them again.
Commanded the porter to walk.
And until they get it right, he's going to keep there
until they get it right.
For ye know not,
he's
going to
keep doing,
of the house
doing this until they get it right.
When he comes back and he sets up his kingdom, what is he going to do?
At midnight,
the nation of Israel is going to be the head of the nations. And what are they supposed to do?
They're supposed to go out
in the morning.
They're supposed to make from 3
get them converted,
to 6.
Bring them to Jesus Christ.
When's Jesus
coming? Not everybody's going to be saved in a millennium.
And in the
when Jesus
watch.
Is reigning for 1,000, reigning on
like
earth, not everybody's
going to
be saved at that point.
Those are in chronological
and the Jews are going to be the head of the nations.
And so,
who did the 12? I don't know if they are.
Who does the 12 disciples represent?
That's what we have to go by.
They represent the nation of Israel.
Would be the morning, right?
They represent the nation of Israel.
Fourth
and
watch.
So, when Romans 1:16 says, let's go there if you would.
Is that the darkest time of the night?
That's when. Look at what it says.
That's the last stages of being gone, right?
Romans 1:16.
Darkest time.
Says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
And they cried out for fear.
To the Jew
first. Now think about this for a little bit, right?
Who got the message
first? Doctrinally a picture of the nation of Israel going into the tribulation.
With
the nations,
12 disciples,
and the tongues, and again into the body of Christ,
or in the body of Christ,
before anybody else,
the rising up against this nation,
and
right?
So the Bible's
the
true when it says that
salvation is to the Jew first,
revealed,
and then it's
also to the Greeks.
And this nation of Israel has probably seen some pretty
them,
weird things up
Jews.
To this point.
Go with me if you went back to Matthew 14.
Because we know that the Antichrist will be able to do signs and wonders.
Let's see, verse 24.
That's found in 2 Thessalonians, I believe. He can do signs and wonders. And he's able
and
to
so what
deceive
we're,
the
what
nations.
We're taking a look at here is,
and picture, if you would, this nation of Israel. And they're going through the tribulation. They see a lot of this weird stuff going on. And what happens if somebody just shows up walking on the water? What would you think? What if you saw that? Would you think, oh, that's Jesus, and go running out to him with your arms up? No. You'd be troubled. You'd be probably so scared you'd be putting your head under the bed, going, Lord, take it away. I don't want to see anymore. Yeah. There's some weird stuff that goes on out there that if we saw, we would probably, we wouldn't make it to the bathroom. Right? But think about these guys here. Put yourself in their shoes. What would you think if you were on the water and you saw a person walking over? Not saying anything. Probably going like this. I don't know if that's what he was doing. It doesn't say his arms were out. It doesn't say they were down. But, you know, there's seas out there. What if he's walking over the waves like this? You see this person coming to you. What would you think? These guys were troubled. Hey, they've been through some bigger waves than these. They weren't afraid of the waves, but they were afraid when they saw this thing walking over to them. They called it a spirit. But when Jesus comes back and that nation sees Jesus, I believe he makes an appearing in the tribulation. Anybody ever hear that before? That he makes a mid-tribulation appearing. And just think about what these people are going to think. I mean, they've seen this Antichrist do some pretty weird things. And, I mean, you've got holograms now in Disney World that you can see a person in the sky. What are they going to think? Are they going to be afraid? Probably. And probably everybody's going to be afraid when they see Jesus coming back. And they should fear. And they should fear, but not. They should fear Jesus because he's capable of crushing them in his hands, crushing them. They shouldn't be afraid because there's just some spirit coming. He spoke the world into existence. He could speak you out of existence. Think about that. You should be afraid of him. So this right here looks like it's an appearing of Jesus Christ in the tribulation. That's what it looks like. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, the only thing that nation is going to have that is for sure is the Word of God. That's all they're going to have. They're not going to be able to go by their sight, folks. And they're going to have to be questioning everything they see and everything they hear, and they're going to have to line it up with the Word of God. Or they're going to be deceived. And here's Jesus Christ speaking to them. He's speaking to them. And so they're going to be seeing all these lying wonders. They're not going to be able to trust it. What does Peter say? We have a more sure word of prophecy. They're going to have a Bible. They're going to have the Scriptures. And they're going to have 144,000 Jews preaching to them out of those Scriptures. And so that Jew is going to have to be listening to the Word of God. He's not going to be able to see what, or he's not going to be able to trust what he sees anymore. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to John. John 10. And these are all basically practical things. We're looking at practical things in a doctrinal sense. Trying to place your shoes, you got to try and think about what it's going to be like over there to understand some of these things. John chapter 10, verse 14. Where did I go? Okay. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 26. But believe ye not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What's Peter getting ready to do? Right? They know it's Jesus when he speaks. Back in Matthew. And that Jew in the tribulation is going to have to, he's going to have the Word of God, and he's going to have to believe it. That's all he's going to have. And when the preacher's speaking and they're verifying it in the Word of God, that's what they're going to have. And Peter answered him, said, Lord. He already knows it's the Lord. He just spoke. Lord. You think he'd be saying that to some devil out there or some unclean spirit in the water? No. He knows it's the Lord. He heard his voice. It is I. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Okay, verse 28, 29, and 30. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, this looks like a picture of some of the remnant of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem that come out of that nation. They come out of the ship. Where the nation's at, after they see Jesus appear in the middle of the tribulation, and they see the abomination of desolation, they start running off, right? And so it looks like that as they're running, they get out there, and they're fainting out there in the wilderness because they cry out to Jesus Christ from Sela Petra. They're going to cry out to him, and he's going to save them, okay? But they're going to have to walk out there. They're going to have to get out there. So that's what it looks like here. Now, maybe you guys have something other that it's showing to you, but that's what it looks like to me. The Bible says here you can see the wind. Now, if you put yourself in a vacuum and you take away the earth, and you take away the trees, and you only have just the wind out there, can you see it? Well, now start adding some things. Start putting yourself in the middle of the ocean and put water out there with waves. Now, can you see the wind? I think you can. Bible says that he saw the wind. And maybe you can't see it until there's a bunch of mist incorporated in it. But Bible says he saw the wind boisterous. Not only did he see the wind, but I know he saw the effects of the wind. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to John. John 3:8. A lot of people say that this verse here, the Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay? So, let's look at this again. It doesn't say you can't see the wind. That's not what it says. It says, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Do you know when Jesus was created? Do you know when the Holy Spirit was put forth in time? You don't know whence he came. There's no place in time or in place where you're going to point your finger and say, that's the beginning. Try doing that with the wind. Find out where the wind came from, where it originated from. You're not going to do it. Sorry. Okay? But you can see the wind. The Bible says you can see it. Not only that, you can hear it. It says right here, it says right here, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the sound of the wind. Peter saw the wind. So, and you can see what the wind can do. The wind can take and blow down silos that are bolted into concrete structures in the ground and completely annihilate them. Okay? The wind can lift up whole towns and make it a bunch of rubble. Can you see the wind twirling around in a tornado? Okay, so listen. You can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. You may not be able to say the Holy Spirit originated over here and this is where he's going to end up. But you can see what's happening in the people's lives. All right, that's all we'll say about that one. Well, let's go back and we'll finish this up. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately he stretched forth his hand. Okay? So, it's a great picture, folks, of the saving of a soul. But it's also a great picture of the daily saving that we need as Christians. Okay? Because you're going to be out there in the waves, amongst the waves, amongst the boisterous wind. And if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to start to sink. It says right here, Peter had little faith. And you can have faith of the saving of a soul, and you only need a little. You only need a little. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a little faith, right? That's all you need is a little. And then you could be out in the world, walking on those waves, walking amongst the people where there's turmoil. Take your eyes off of Jesus and start to sink. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I said. I'm saying you can start to sink. And you can call out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And he can save you from the situation that you're in. The situation of doubt. Take your eyes off the Word of God. You're going to start doubting some of the promises that he has. And then when you start doubting those promises and you start doubting the assurance, hey, you can say, Lord, save me. And immediately he's there right next to you to pick you up out of that sinking sea that you're sinking in. Because you put yourself in that position. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. When those Jews, when Jesus comes back, and he gets that remnant, and he saves them, Lord, save me. What's going to happen? He's going to set up his kingdom, and the winds are going to cease. And the tongues
and the nations, they're going to be under his rule. There's not going to be any more war there. Not for 1,000 years anyway. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and stop there. Then they that were with him in the ship worshipped him. Those that are get into the millennium are going to worship Jesus. Of a truth, thou art, and say, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. What's he going to do? He's going to heal the diseased people that come to him in the millennium. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words, and thank you for this church, and thank you for these people, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're just a great Savior, and you can not only save our souls, but you can save us from the daily mess that we get ourselves into here on this earth. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would just bless the message today, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.